join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey and Dr. Tony Colson continue their discussion on racism and social justice.
So we should be teaching all the children you could go to college.
Yes, exactly.
This is not an exception.
Right.
The same opportunities, the same building up of self-esteem, the same opportunities need to be presented to everyone.
Right.
Regardless of skin color or race or background, et cetera,
right.
Without us making certain biases that he's an exception.
Yes.
I don't know if you understand that.
No, I was listening to Pastor Darius Daniels, and he was talking about the concept of white privilege. And what he said there was, he said, we're not asking for you to give up your white privilege. We're just asking to have the same privilege. And so that's where the conversation needs to be had, because I believe that oftentimes the extremes, of course, are there. The white against the black against the white, those extremes are there. But what the message of the gospel is, and what the message that we need to pronounce as the church, is that there would be no disparity.
Right.
And that's, Jesus wasn't just even racial in the sense, he wasn't racial. It wasn't that he was just dealing with racial issues. He was also dealing with gender issues and any kind of injustice to the poor.
Exactly.
Any aspect to where there becomes a distinction, a human filter that we create that says they're not as good or not as deserving as another part. That's the message of Jesus Christ. We are all one in Christ.
Now, you brought up this issue. I didn't bring it up. You brought it up, Pastor. You used the WP stuff. I didn't say anything about it. You brought it up. You mentioned white privilege. What's your understanding of white? Or maybe explain, because that's something else that a lot of white people, when that term is used, they get very defensive.
I think that's something that I have to continue to grow in understanding as it relates to the difference between an African-American's perspective and a white person's. We don't have to think about it.
Right.
And so whenever we just have an expectation of what culture would, what we can do, when we show up, if we work hard, if we do this, we do that, if we've got the right credit scores, if we've got all that, then we expect that it will follow this system for us.
Right.
It's for that. So I see that recognition. And just like what you were saying, the difference between perhaps African-American and others is they can show up with the same
qualifications
and yet be treated differently. And so, and I think that's where for us as whites, if we could come to the understanding that the balanced perspective here is that blacks and minorities are not asking to take things away from us. They're asking to have the same opportunities without prejudice, without distinction. And so that's where we have got to also operate in the church. Because unfortunately, Racism has occurred in the church. And we have not treated people the same in the church. And we've got to do better than that. We've got to become an example, an expression of Jesus Christ, who whenever he walked into a situation, one of the things that, people wanted to be around Jesus because I think his love emanated through his relationships with people. And when we can begin to prioritize the image of God in the other person, and we can begin to prioritize the call of Christ to lay down our own preferences and our own agendas in order to serve the kingdom above what we desire, then we'll begin to see progress made towards oneness, towards unity, and towards reconciliation in a nation that's greatly broken right now.
You know, we were talking back in my study that people think that this discussion is not kingdom. It's something different rather than us preaching the kingdom. You know, the Bible says of the increase of his government, there'll be no end. Mm. And he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet.
Yes.
Racism is the enemy to the church.
Yes.
Division is an enemy to the church. And until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ.
Yes.
And so kingdom is about making sure that Jesus reigns and rules over every institution that the love of God and the principles of the kingdom are perpetuated through every segment of society. That's what we're here for.
Yes.
If all we do is get folks here in church and jump and shout and speak in tongues and all that, that's not kingdom. Unless we are affecting our world, that's when we're doing kingdom work. Not just bringing people into the church.
Yes.
But after they come into church, showing us now how we can go and make the world better.
Yes.
You agree with that?
I agree. You had shared with me Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. And I actually looked it up in the Message Bible. And if it's okay, I don't normally read out of the Message Bible. But for whatever reason, I saw this. But hear this. It's a little lengthy, but just stay with me. And it's not just verse 17. It's about 10 through 17 in the Message. Okay. It says this: quit your worship charades. I can't stand your trivial religious games. Mm. Monthly conferences, weekly Sabbaths, special meetings. I can't stand one more. Meeting for this, meetings for that. I hate them. You've worn me out. I'm sick of your religion, while you go right on sinning. You put on your next prayer performance, I'll be looking the other way. No matter how long or loud or often you pray, I'll not be listening. And do you know why? Because you've been tearing people to pieces, and your hands are bloody. Go home, wash up, clean up your act, sweep your lives clean of your evil doings so I don't have to look at them any longer. Say no to wrong. Learn to do good. Work for justice. Help the down and out. Stand up for the homeless. Go to bat for the defenseless.
Wow, that
now,
is awesome.
Now, if the church became that,
everybody
would want to be a part of it.
Right.
The world is not getting changed by our worship services.
Mm.
It's going to get changed by our work of love.
Yeah.
And that's the key for us moving forward.
That verse, verse 17, I wrote it down in the Amplified, Isaiah 1:17. It said, learn to do right, seek justice, relieve the oppressed, correct the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. And so there's certain things that we know as Christians. Now, for example, I know faith works.
Yes.
I know tithing works.
Yes.
I teach our people here right direction. I believe that we stay connected to the supernatural power of God, even in our giving, that supernatural things can happen that will cause us to have no lack. I went to give away a car to a single parent a couple months ago or around Mother's Day. I couldn't find a single parent in this church that didn't have a car.
Wow.
We search high and near. Call all the leaders. Somebody got to know somebody.
Praise the Lord.
Okay? And so my point about that is that I believe that when we learn kingdom principles, it'll affect every area of our lives.
Yes.
But so does that mean I'm not concerned about those who don't know that? Mm. So I look at someone out there and says, Because I've heard this stuff. I heard this from a black Christian about single parents on welfare. They said, well, if they were living by the word of God and didn't have those babies out of wedlock, they wouldn't be in poverty. Mm. And I'm saying, is that self-righteous attitude that we're judging how someone got in the situation rather than seeing how they're in the situation? And Jesus said, do right, seek justice, relieve the oppressed, correct the oppressor.
Yes.
And Jesus would, you know, we all talk about the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. But that came about because of Jesus' compassion for those people. Mm. Jesus said, these people have been following me all day. We can't send them away fasting.
Yeah.
These folks are hungry.
Yeah.
Where can we buy bread that these might eat? And so for the church, we have to be concerned not only of spiritual needs, but we got to merge these. Now, going back to where I started, there are churches that are at one extreme. My daughter, when she first went to New York, she said, Daddy, I found a church. And I said, okay. She said, it's a good church. Well, I said, well, do they stream? She said, yeah, they stream. So I streamed that, and I saw her sitting in this Bible study. And the pastor was saying all this stuff about getting born again and saved and baptized and all that. That's not what Jesus came for. Yeah. Jesus came to help us love each other. I said, get out of there. Because no, Jesus came, but first we got to love him.
Yes.
In other words, there are churches that will teach us to accept the message of Jesus without Jesus.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, right.
That's one extreme. And Jesus doesn't care anything about you being saved and born again. I said, no, that's not true.
Right.
Okay. Someone said, when we finally did find someone to give a car to, and we put a post on social media, I didn't respond to, but someone said, give them the car away. He said, now that's what the church is all about. Mm-hmm. No, that's not what the church is all about. Mm. The church is about Jesus. And in addition to Jesus, we can give away cars and help the poor. But that's, you understand what I'm saying? There needs to be a merging, not one extreme or the other. Not us being so concerned about this that we don't handle people's spiritual matters. And not us just being concerned about spiritual matters that we don't handle these natural matters.
Yes.
And that's how people will ultimately open up to the church and open up to the gospel, is that they see that we're concerned about them holistically, not just about going to heaven, but also how they live here in the earth.
The very first scripture that God ever spoke to me when I was 16 years old or so was 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. He said, though I am free and a servant to no one, I make myself a slave to all that I might win the more.
Right.
So whenever we begin to serve people, we begin to open their hearts. We begin to open their hearts to the whole purpose of God, the whole message of Jesus Christ. And we as churches and we as the body of Christ have got to become allegiant to that holistic message. We have to do it together. And that's why I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come into this platform.
Sure.
Because the reality of it is we can watch the news and we can see the extremes that are taking place in our culture and in our world. And the church is not supposed to learn from that.
Mm.
We are supposed to be demonstrating the way of Christ in the midst of it.
Right.
And so that's something that we had talked about in the back, is just extremes do not bring about the way of the Lord. Can you speak to that a little more? Just how we as a body have got to come into that place of balance.
Sure.
As we face, you know, those situations.
Well, you know, one of the scriptures that I had to address that very point in Luke 11:42.
Mm, yes.
Luke 11:42, Jesus says, woe unto you Pharisees. And the Pharisees, they felt they were like the elite of the religious law. They knew the law. They could teach you. They could tell you what you're wrong, what Moses said, what all the prophets said. And they were always correcting people, showing them where they were off. He said, but won't you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. Okay, he said, now you won't miss a tithe. You tithe to the penny. One translation says, you are real good at accounting.
Mm.
Okay, you tithe of all manner of herbs, but you pass over judgment and the love of God. And then here it is. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. So we got to do it all.
Yes.
we have to meet the needs where the needs are. You know, even during this, for the most part, and a lot of it has to do with, I know the teaching that I bring to this church and how I teach us how to prosper according to God's word. Right. It's not just a wish, but then he tells us how to do it. He, beloved, I wish that you prosper. But then the word of God tells us there's certain principles. There's spiritual principles of tithing, but there's also natural principles about managing our money. And I teach and I speak to all those things. And I believe anyone who comes to this church and sits under this ministry for any length of time, they'll start seeing a change economically. And God told his people, he says this. He says, now, a lot of people miss it. He said, when there is no poor among you, among you, he says his people, not if, he said, there's going to get to a place that there's no poor among you. Yeah. When? He said, but then you, don't forget the poor. He said, there may not be poor among you,
yes,
but there's still some poor out there. So after we've obtained, yeah, and after we've been blessed, there's still somebody who doesn't know what you know.
Right.
And so, it amazes me sometimes how Christians forget. You know, it's like the Christian who used to smoke 3 packs a day. And now if they walk by somebody on the street, that's smoking. It's just, I don't know how anyone does that. I can't stand it. They forgot they used to smoke 3 packs a day.
Yeah.
And now they can't, it's so disgusting to them. So we cannot forget as Christians, everybody doesn't know what we know.
Yeah.
Everyone, and economically, everyone doesn't have what we have. The Lord has challenged me during this time, and I spoke to our staff about it recently. I said, we're going to take several $1,000s every month and be more intentional about investing that in our community. I'm talking outside of our church.
Right.
You know, we have systems set up to take care of needs in our church, but being real deliberate about our community and people seeing what we are doing.
Yes.
Okay. In a way that they can. Jesus said at the end of the day, they're going to know we're Christians by our love. By this, y'all may know you might say by our love. And love is not something you feel. Love is something you do. Love is an action word. Don't tell me how much you love the Lord. Don't tell me how much you love your wife, you love your children, if you don't do anything for them. So our love is going to have to be demonstrated in what we do. And we have to bring together, I think, the spiritual and the natural if we're really going to address these issues of racism and social injustice, poverty, and all these things.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, you just made the distinction. Love is an action. And anger is very much a feeling. And right now,
anger is a reaction.
And so right now, that's a lot of people are being absorbed and overwhelmed by this aspect of anger and hatred. And it's on both sides.
Yeah.
In the sense of, you know, the blacks against the whites right now, we're seeing it pronounced. And how do we speak to our people, the church, and say, yes, you're feeling this. Maybe you even have a right to feel this way. In the sense of you've experienced injustices, and how do we speak to them to process through that anger to where it's not just one injustice for another injustice?
Right, right.
What is the church's response in the sense of how do we move that anger into a righteous anger and bring about the justice of God?
Well, one of the scriptures that the Lord has been resonating in my ear and in my mind, I believe it's James 2:10. It says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. I told you that when I told you about we were in the church, a majority white church with white leadership and white pastor and all that, and we were members of this church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the pastor made those racist statements about not supposed to date interracially. And he told the people, I told my daughter when she was 5 years old, little black boy next door, and I told her, now you can play with him. We can play interracially, but we don't date interracially. Oh, I was incensed. Why would you even think you need to address that to a five-year-old who's not even thinking about that? You're teaching and instilling racism at such a young age where they don't even, where my wife, she often says children ought to be innocent as long as they can be innocent. Without even having to deal with any of this stuff. I was so angry. I was so angry. I said, I'm not going back to that church. And the Lord said to me, he told me later, he said, I put you in that church so you can see things, so you can learn things, including that. Mm. And the Lord said, everything that was in that man, I knew it when I told you to join this church. Wow. I was like, huh? Like, I said, I ain't coming back. The Lord said, oh, no, you're going back. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I couldn't get myself together to obey God for that Sunday night. We went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. Sunday morning, Sunday. I couldn't get myself. Wednesday, we're back there. And the Lord said, you will leave here when I tell you to leave. I don't want you ever responding in anger. Yeah. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And so sometimes when we're angry, when we're hurt, when we're disappointed, we have to really go to God and say, God, now, what do I do with this?
Yes.
Okay. You know, they got a song. It was a hip hop song or something a couple years ago about a woman getting mad at a man and said something about bust your windows out your car. Okay. Every time you get mad, you can bust somebody's windows out the car.
Yeah.
Okay. Every time you get mad, you can't go slice somebody's tires. And even though my wife and I walked the other day and I thought about this scripture. The Bible says, if a thief steal to fill his belly or because he's hungry, he said, we understand. Mm-hmm. He said, but if he be found, he got to restore.
Yeah.
Sevenfold. In other words, he said, I understand why you did it, but there's going to be consequences to your actions.
Right.
And we have to understand that. When we do things in the flesh out of reactions, we understand why you did it. We understand the anger. But there's going to be consequences even to that. And so even us deciding to do this is part of, okay, now how do we respond? Okay. I need to talk to somebody. I need to bring this up. I need somebody to hear me. Mm-hmm. How can I do this in a constructive way? How can I change the systems that I'm part of? Okay. And again, even for us, I said, us as a church, and we do a lot. Most of what we do, people don't know about. Mm-hmm. Okay? So I said, I'm going to be more intentional about making sure that we are really doing things to address the poor in a targeted way,
yes.
Not just reaction. Well, if somebody comes to us and got a bill, we'll help them pay it.
Right.
No, that's a reaction versus being intentional of knowing, no, there's people here. We need to do things without people even having to ask. We know this exists.
Yes.
I think that's where the church needs to be. We need to take this reaction and say, okay, now how do I now start doing actions? What system do I need to change in my church? Mm-hmm. What do I need to start intentionally teaching or making sure that I'm not teaching? People are being more conscious about what we say. There's, as a Christian, as a Bible-believing Christian, somebody went, I don't believe the homosexual lifestyle lines up with the word of God. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't give me a right to be mean to a homosexual.
Right.
And call them all kinds of names.
Yes.
Even as I was raised to do it in the church.
Right.
That has become unacceptable today.
Yes.
The way some people have been talking, including Christians, it needs to become unacceptable.
Yes.
And when we see it, when we hear it, we need to confront it. And I want us to talk about that. We're going to go over today. We're going to end here in about 14 minutes. But I want to address from a scriptural standpoint. I'll let you say what you want to say. But before we leave, I want people to see that racism, discrimination showed up in the scriptures and had to be confronted.
Right.
But you were going to say before we get to that.
No, I think that you're speaking to that we as the people of God can't respond like the world.
Right.
And so my heart is I served as a chaplain for law enforcement for 8 years back in Tennessee. And so I gained a great perspective for police officers. And what I don't want to see happen, of course, is that extreme to where just because a person's wearing a badge, they get acts of injustice against them. And what we have to do is we have to come together and address this thing in the way of Christ. And I believe that the way you're leading us now, let's go there. What is it that the scriptures say about how do we deal with these preferential treatments, these injustices in the church?
What I want people to understand is that you can be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost.
Hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
And have issues of racism, sexism. Okay, now, we haven't even gotten to the sexism part in the church.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, who knows? That may come next.
Talk for another day.
Okay, and You know, right after, you remember right after President Trump got elected, they had this women's movement.
Right, right.
And like the next day or something, all the women across the world was, that helped me right there. I just want all the women to know I don't have no problem with you. I'm good. And when I saw all the women march around the world, I just want to let you, I'm good. Power to the women.
That's,
you know?
Right.
But you can be saved and have wrong thinking. And wrong thinking is going to result in wrong actions.
Yes.
And how shall they hear without a preacher? Paul writes in the book of 1 Corinthians and writes to the church. He says, y'all are speaking in tongues too much. He said, every time I turn around, you got some type of new tongue. He said, when people come in, they're going to think y'all crazy. He said, those who don't understand this tongue, they're not making any sense to them.
Yeah.
So they were so spiritual. They were. He said, listen, he said, and then even your prophecy. You can't spend a whole service prophesying. Let it be by two or three, and then let somebody else interpret.
Right.
He was setting the order. To the same church who was speaking in tongues, he said, now I want to let you know, it's wrong for a man to be sleeping with his father's wife, with his stepmother. To the same church, he said, I want you to know it's wrong for you to be fornicating and having adultery. These are the same people who are speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
That means you can be spiritual in one area and completely wrong and ignorant in another area. And so much of the church has been ignorant regarding this issue, and you're assuming I can't be racist because I speak in tongues. I can't be racist because I carry a Bible.
As things continue to change in our country and world, understanding what the Word says about issues like racism and social justice are important for the believer. In this timely discussion, Bishop Herbert Bailey and Dr. Tony Colson sit down to discuss how we can look at racism and social justice with a Christian and biblical perspective. Order today's message by calling 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.